is Alternate Take. I am your host, Danny Rodriguez. Welcome back to the show. On this episode, man, we got to talk to an absolute legend. Kind of like we do on most episodes. Humble brag, whatever. But this one was different, man. This was very special for me. We got to interview the legendary bass player from the band Kool & the Gang, Robert Kool Bell. That's right, dude. You've heard every song from Kool & the Gang since you were a kid, man. At every family party, you know, when you're getting ready to go out and fucking, you know, have a good night, all that good shit, man. They're an iconic American band. So to be able to sit with him and talk with him about how they got started, their best music, their favorite influences, everything, man. It was just incredible, dude. The dude's got charisma for days. And it was just a huge honor to be able to talk to him, man. So that's it, man. I don't want to ruin the interview for you guys. I want you guys to enjoy the great, great wisdom of Mr. Robert Kool Bell. So without further ado, I bring to you one of the most legendary bass players of all time, Mr. Kool. How's everybody doing? This is Alternate Take, Danny Rodriguez. We're bringing you back another special episode. We brought you guys Mr. Robert Kool Bell from Kool & the Gang. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. Just enjoying myself. Nice little morning here in Southern California, so I ain't complaining about nothing. What about you?
Okay, well, it's a warm day today here in the OTC, as we call it, Orlando.
We've been the last
2 or 3 days. I'm fine now.
Awesome. Well, it's an honor to have you on the show, sir. It really is. I mean, me, just like a million other people, are the biggest fans of Kool & the Gang. Music's been a huge part of my life, always has been. I think I've been playing guitar since I was 9, and probably the only one in my family to actually play, or at least consistently. Like, my parents don't play, nothing like that. So it was just in me to want to learn and to be a part of it. And to see you guys do what you've done over the years, it's just crazy to me even thinking about. But let's do the right thing and start from the beginning. Let's start with Kool & the Gang from the beginning, sir, and how it all started for you guys. And I believe it started in Jersey City, correct?
Jersey City, yes.
1964. Wow. So tell me the process of how you guys all got together as a band. That sounds very strenuous and very hard to do. Sometimes it sounds kind of like natural, I would imagine, but also very hard to get everyone involved and make sure everyone's on time and doing all. So how did that all happen, sir?
Well, we started in 1964 as the Jazzy Acts, and then the name was changed to the Soul Town Band, and then it was changed to Kool & the Flames, and we changed that because of James Brown and the Famous Flame. And finally, in 1969, we came out with our first record called Kool & the Gang. We didn't want to have any problem with the Godfather, James Brown. So we changed Flame to Gang. And that's when our first record came out.
Wow. And tell me what it was like when you guys made your first record. What was the process like? What did you guys think you were bringing? Because, I mean, obviously what you guys brought to the music world was different. It was new. There wasn't, I wouldn't say, much music like you guys before that came out. There was people that you guys were inspired by, but what was that process like when you guys were making that first record?
Well, the first record, which was called Kool & the Gang, it was on 16 tracks, I think it was. But we had to learn the song before recording. So it wasn't like today, you know, you can, like, as they say, fix it in the mix. So we had to rehearse the song to make sure that there was no mistakes. And then we cut the whole song.
Wow.
And that's what it was like for our very first record.
That's so crazy. And how many band members did you guys have on your first record?
We had seven.
Seven. And they grew to, what was the largest number you think you guys grew to for band members?
The largest amount of members?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, touring, we had as much as 14 at one time.
Wow.
Right now we tour with about nine.
Wow.
Members. But the original members were seven, you know, and only two of the original members are living. That's myself and Mr. George Brown, who also was a drummer and a great writer and one of the key members. And it's just he and I lost most of all my members except for the tours, but I got new members. The new members have been with me for about some 20 years, some 25 years, you know. So
wow.
They're new, but they're not that new.
Right, right. Wow, that's awesome. what do you think it takes for someone to have a band with so many members like that and to all be hitting on the same note and be on the same page? I think that's the most difficult thing in the world, especially now considering the current world we live in with all the, how easy it is to get distracted and not focused, to have that many members and for them to be all dedicated at the same time and to all have the same passion and to all be in the same room and to sit down and do that sounds extremely difficult. Did you guys have any problems with that, or, you know, getting together for practice or whatnot? Or,
well, I mean, you know, it's like a family. You have your ups and downs, and some things we agree upon, other things we don't. And would you try to, you know, to work it out and also come up with the proper approach to whatever the song might be? Like, for instance, the song Too Hot was written by George Brown. And that was about his growing up and meeting his high school sweetheart. And things got too hot, and so he had to let it go. So, I mean, you know, and the song like Jungle Boogie or Hollywood Swinging, those are all songs that we did together. You know, my brother was a key man as it related to the horn lines. 90% of those horn lines in the 70s came from my brother. You know, like I said, Jungle Boogie, Funky Stuff, Hollywood Swinging, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I think it's, it, does that ever like blow your mind to think like, man, if I didn't have this person, that we wouldn't have had that riff in there? Or like, oh, if I wouldn't have had this person, like we wouldn't even have came up with that easy drum riff or that easy guitar riff. Like we wouldn't even have thought about that unless he was here. Does that like ever like, you know, get to you and go, wow, like this was a magical formula that we had with the magical people?
Well, like I said, we started off young. We started off as the Jazzy Acts, the Soul Town Band, Cooling the Flames, Cooling the Gang. The Soul Town Band used to back up groups, about 10 groups. We had to back that, those groups up. And they were trying to be like the Motown Review. They called it the Soul Town Review. So, you know, we had to learn those tracks. So as we grew and started doing our own music, it was, wasn't that difficult because we did what we did. We already had a background. We used to play James Brown or The Temptations or whatever, in terms of those groups that wanted to be like Motown. So it was a natural flow for us. You know, we create the songs and we go from there.
Wow. Awesome. What were like, you know, for you and your bandmates, what kind of role models did you have, you know, before Cool in the Gang? Like what were you listening to in your house when you're a child or growing up or teenager that like wanted you to get into music? Did you have any particular favorites?
Well, again, it was James Brown. We listened to him. We played his music. Of course, my brother was into John Coltrane. Dennis Thomas was into Campbell Adderley. George Brown was into Philly Joe Jones and a lot of other drummers. So those were kind of like our heroes. And then, you know, we listened to a little bit of Sly and the Family Stones coming up out of the 60s into the 70s. We also, you know, groups like the Temptations, or just go see them at the Apollo Theater, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, you know.
Those were great music.
Inspiration, I should say.
Yeah. Oh man. Tremendous music. Coltrane, I got into a couple years ago, and geez, like it was almost like I felt stupid for not getting into it earlier. I was like, oh my God, this is just incredible music. It took me a while. I think you had to be a little bit more sophisticated to like enjoy it, and you know, a lot of years of immaturity. So now I feel like a little bit more mature. So now I can enjoy that music. But man, that's tremendous music. When do you think that you guys really hit a corner where you guys turned the page, where you guys were taking off all across the country? You know, because some bands, it's like their first record. Some it's like their fifth. Some it's, you never know. You know, when do you think it happened for you guys where you guys were like, all right, now we're on to something. Everyone knows who we are now.
Our first record did pretty good, actually, Cool in the Gang. And then there was a couple other albums leading up to, I would say, the Wild and Peaceful album. That was the turnaround. I mean, Jungle Boogie, Hollywood Swinging, Funky Stuff. Those were big records, top five records. I think Jungle Boogie was top five, pop, and also Hollywood Swinging and Funky Stuff was number one for about 5 weeks, R&B, so. That was the turnaround.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Do people constantly tell you guys like how influential you guys were in their lives? I mean, like it really is crazy to think about how like how much Kool and the Gang was around my life when I think about it. Like, and it's, this is the same story everyone has. It's not an original story, but like just going to the, you know, going to the park for like, you know, opening day for baseball. Like, you know, there's DJ and there's playing Celebrate for everybody. You know, there's Jungle Boogie at your family party. You know, there's Get Down On It. And simple as just trying to, you know, before you go outside, before you had to go out and have some drinks with some friends, you know, you're playing Get Down On It. Did people ever like consistently tell you like, Jesus, like your music is literally part of my everyday life since I was a kid, just for everybody. Like, it doesn't matter what type of music you're into. Like, you know, it could be metal, it could be Led Zeppelin, it could be, you know, hip hop, it could be anything. Everyone likes Kool and the Gang, and it's been influential in everyone's life. It's insane.
Well, thank you. We thank all those fans who grew up on Kool and the Gang. I call them gang supporters or gang heads, or just simply Kool and the Gang fans. Why not?
I love it. What have been like your personal favorite memories that you have that really like stuck with you over your career as a musician? Some that you go, man, like that's something I felt and I was really proud of, or I'm like, or I did that, you know, and that's something that makes you like feel really good that when you go, you know, towards the end of everything that you can say, I was a part of that, or I did this.
Well, there's quite a few memories playing with Elton John in England, you know, at the big Wembley State. Playing with Stevie Wonder for the Budweiser festivals that we did. There was other ones out on the road with playing with the Commodores or either the Gap Band, you know, Charlie Wilson. There's a lot of them, man. I mean, played with Van Halen. We did 48 shows with Van Halen.
Wow.
10 shows with Kid Rock. We played a couple of shows with the Rod Stewart. It's just so many memories. I think that was a song too by somebody from the Motown. So many memories. Yeah. So a lot of memories, man.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I can't believe I would have paid a lot of money to see you and Van Halen play together. That's insane. That's incredible.
It was a great 48 shows, man.
Oh, man. Do you have any special Van Halen memories when you're with him? Like, does he, anything that rubbed off on you, any sort of flavor or something?
Well, sound check before the tour started. We was rehearsing, and then they were doing their rehearsal, and David Lee Roth told Eddie and Alex, said, come on, man. Y'all gotta get together, man. He's trying to get them to go out to do their bow and stuff. He's like, gonna give us a rough time every night, man. Y'all gotta get together. I said, no, don't say that, man. We don't want to get kicked off the tour, man. But I mean, it was David Lee Roth who actually saw us in London at the Glastonbury Festival. And that's when he told Alex and Eddie, he said, hey, man, I got the act I want to be a support act. And so they said, oh, who? He said, Kool and the Gang. He said, Kool and the Gang? Man, what are you talking about? Kool and the Gang? He said, yeah, man, I just saw them. They just rocked the crowd at the Glastonbury Festival in England. And the rest was a party. I mean, he even sang a little lines of Ladies Night when he came on. And you know, they used to play funky stuff, Jungle Boogie, in the clubs out in LA when they had their band out there.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's crazy. Damn, unbelievable. Wow. I've heard some interesting things about David Lee Roth, actually, that like he quit to be like an EMT or something. I'm like, this dude's an animal, man. I respect him so much. That's unbelievable. When it comes to the songwriting process, like what's the part that you like you look forward to the most, and what's the part that you don't? What's the part that's like, ah, oh, like this part really does get to you, where it feels more like, you know, stressful or maybe like work, like, you know, like I really got to double down on this kind of thing?
Well, you really have to continue, you know, to work on the song and develop it. You know, some songs just came under a pressure, I guess I can say. Record Company.
Right.
The producer who I just had the big hit on Soul Makusa, Mongo Dabango, or Dabango, whatever. He said, man, we met the guy. I said, we're not feeling this guy. So we went into the studio. New York, downtown, in Soho District, it's called Baggies. We started at 8 in the morning. And when we finished, we had created Funky Stuff, Jungle Boogie, and Hollywood Swinging.
Wow.
So, no more pressure from the record company. So those type of songs just come. Other songs you work on, like my brother, when he came up with the horn line for Open Sesame, which ended up in Saturday Night Fever. It wasn't a competitive thing, but, you know, some say that Kool & Gang horn section, Earth, Wind & Fire horn section, you know. You know, which one is the better horn section? I ain't worried about that. Watch this. that line down for Open Sesame, you know. But we're all friends, man. It's all in good competition.
Right, right. That's funny as hell. I mean, I think, yeah, the horn section to me is one of the most important things in me. Like, one of my favorite bands is Springsteen and the E Street Band, just because I just get a kick out of watching Clarence Clemens play. It's, to me, it's just the most amazing thing to see him rip that. It's just like, it makes the music to me. There's Springsteen, but then there's Springsteen with Clarence Clemens, and it's a whole different thing. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. Clarence is definitely a great saxophone player. Yeah.
Absolutely. So your instrument of choice was bass, sir, correct?
I play bass, yeah.
Yes, sir. Can you tell me any of your favorite bass players, you know, from all different genres that you had that, you know, over the years have either inspired you or kept you going, or ones that you respected?
Well, in the early days, it was Ron Carter, because, you know, the whole jazzy act thing, and, you know, a lot of us listen to jazz artists. Ron Carter, Reggie Workman, I don't know if you even know who that is, Jazz Crusaders, Jaco Pastorius, and Jamieson, who played all those tracks for Motown.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah, that, to me.
Andy,
I mean,
Clark, too, now. Andy Clark. Okay.
Love it. Love it. No, to me, bass is the most, like, I mean, everything is so important in your guys' type of music, funk and in general. It's just, there's so many different important factors, like you said, the horn section and whatnot. But, man, the bass is what brings me back to anything funk. It's my favorite thing. I love bass. I love from metal to rock and roll to all types of different bass. But when I think of, like, my favorite bass, it comes from funk, and it always has. And it just comes from the most genius thing. Like, just from, like, Ladies Night, like the little intro riff that you have, it's genius. Like, it's like a slide up and down, but it just works. It's perfect. Like, it kind of gets you in the vibe of the song before the song even starts. It's like a genius thing. Like, how did that come up, actually? Like, were you just in the studio and just made that little riff, and it just natural?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Ladies Night, back in the days of Studio 54 and Regimes, my wife and I used to hang out in the nightclub. And then we said, wow, we used to have Ladies Night. We said, well, wow, that would be a great idea to do a song called Ladies Night. Because it was a Ladies Night every weekend in these clubs. And so the George Brown, who wrote the meat of the song, I came up with the name. He said that he was walking in New York one day, and he was just walking, watching how people walk. Dun, 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 dun. It was just like watching people walk. And I just said, zoom, boom.
Yeah.
There it was.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. It really is. I was listening to that just the other day, and I was like, damn, man, like, certain things like that are the things that interest me the most about music. It's like the small, subtle things, like maybe not necessarily like the main riff of every song, but like, oh, like, I saw what they did differently in just in a half a second in verse two when they did compared to verse one. And it's like a subtle thing like that, like certain drum change or a certain bass line that he mixed it up in this one. I think that stuff is just genius. And man, it's so apparent in your guys' music. I think that's what is the most impressive thing to me. It's like, it's very complicated music. But you guys make it seem easy, which is very hard to do. Like, it's, again, going back to having that many members in a band, it's very intricate. It's almost like the way I would imagine, like, playing jazz is, where you have that many different things going on at one time, and everyone has a purpose in that moment. I think that's the most impressive part, at least in my opinion, of your guys' music, is that it's all done so many different things all at once, and it's just so tight. Like, it just sounds so smooth all the time, and it's so hard to do that. Like, I think anyone who picks up an instrument struggles with that. Like, okay, I finally learned how to do this, now I have to try to make it sound crisp and everyone and all the time. And then you're like, okay, I did it. But then you're like, now I gotta find five other people to do this with me. This is insane. Like, how am I gonna do that, you know? Like, or make sure I can consistently do that and on stage in front of people. I think that's the most important part.
Well, I think it had a lot to do with how we started. We all started young, 14, 15 years old. And we grew together. We all, you know, we knew each other, how different things are going to move. If George is going to pick the tempo up and a beat, we know, I know to follow him. Or if my brother Khalid's going to rip off on the riff, we know to follow him. It was a team. And that's how, and we did mostly 90% of all our music. We didn't accept too many songs from anybody else. Everything that we do, all the songs that we did, was cool in the gang. So we lived 50-something years together. We knew each other, like walking out the door and coming back in, man. It was just that magic that made it happen.
Wow, unbelievable. And you guys recently came out with a newer record, right? Like in around 2021 or 22.
Which one is this now?
You guys came out with a later record, right? Like not too long ago?
Yeah. That was a couple months ago.
Wow. Unbelievable. And you guys are still touring, still doing it.
And before that, we had one called Perfect Union. A song was called Pursuit of Happiness, which was the lead song from the album Perfect Union. And then, of course, the most recent one is Let's Party with George Brown, who created that song. And we have an album coming out around March, April. It's just simply called People Just Want to Have Fun.
I love it.
Wow. They're tired of being locked up in the house. Yeah, people just want to have fun.
I love it. That's amazing. How many records would that be total, sir, that you guys have put out now?
Oh, wow. I lose count. I've got 36 albums, 10 platinum. I mean, gold and platinum. I lose count.
That's unbelievable.
Google it. what's Wikipedia?
Right, that's amazing.
We had on last week.
I love that. So many people get. I mean, Jesus, you can count the records they have, and that's like, and that's amazing work that they put out. But to have a career that long and be like, I don't even know. That's amazing. Holy crap!
You know, it's a blessing, man, to be around for so long. I mean, we talk about 1964. Next year will be 50 years of the whole Jungle Boogie Light of Worlds album period. That's 50 years from that point, not from time we started.
That's incredible. Jesus. And how's all this like affected your family? Like, this has got to be something that's just like, you know, incredible legacy for them to leave behind, you know, like, hey, your grandfather did this, you know, or hey, your uncle did this, or my father did this. You know, I go around like, if I met like your son at a bar and he was like, my dad's Robert Bell, I'd be like, I'll be tripping out. It'd be amazing. Let me meet him. Yada, yada. I mean, how has this affected your family?
Yeah, well, my family members were very proud of us and my brother and I. I lost so many, my mother, my wife, my brother, two other of my brothers. One of my brothers is delightful cool in the game. Of course, you know my brother Ronald Bell, because he's Bell wrote a lot of the hits for Cool in the Gang. You know, so I mean, it's been tough, but I'm quite sure they're in a greater place, and they're watching us move on. So that's what we're doing.
I love that. Do you have any artists now that inspire you, sir? Like anything that you listen to now, or maybe that has come up that has caught your ear? Like, oh, that's pretty good. Anything that in nowadays music?
Well, I kind of like what Bruno Mars is doing. He's like a young cool thing, the flashy horns, the lines that he does, And I heard he was a fan of ours, and I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, no, he's incredible. I think his Super Bowl performance is what sealed the deal for me. What I think it was like 5-10 years ago, somewhere around there. That was just insane. You see him play the drums, to dancing, to singing, to everything, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers come out of nowhere. It was incredible. But that performance, where I was like, whoa, this is next level stuff. It was like an homage to you guys, to James Brown, to Michael Jackson, all in one show. You're like, this is nuts.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, sir, if there's any advice you give to a young musician, up and coming, or a young band, what advice would you give them? What would you tell them, about the process, about all the years that you've learned? I mean, you are part of the most, probably top five most successful band of all time, which is unbelievable to think about. What advice would you give to a young musician, maybe even a young bassist who's out there you know, trying to make his own way in this whole crazy world?
Well, I would say work hard, try to be creative. And sometimes, especially today, it's kind of hard to be creative because everything sounds alike. You know, you have to establish your groove in the music industry. And we've been able to do that. We have been blessed to do that, that when you hear our music, you know it's cool in the game. You know, unless we did a couple covers. We covered one of the Delphonic songs and one of the Temptation songs. But I mean, as far as our music, you know what's up. And learn as much as they can about the business, about publishing, about writing, about copyrights. Also, how your records are sold, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure you get a good attorney and pay your taxes.
Absolutely. I love that. That's great. Pay your damn taxes too. Jesus. I love it. Wow. Sir. Well, I want to tell you, this has been a huge honor for me as well. You know, this is, again, music is a big part of my life. And I wish my friends were here to tell you, like, this is what Get Down On It was like, is my going out song. That's like, I can't even tell you how many times that goes on before, or I'm in the shower for God's sakes, and just getting slipped a couple of times. It is what it is. You know, it was worth it. But, you know, to be able to talk with you guys, and for you to tell your story and share some time with me is a huge honor to me, sir. I really do appreciate your time.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, sir. Do me a favor. Can you tell everybody, like, your social media and, like, your upcoming tour dates and stuff like that, so they can, you know, see what's going on, your website, whatever?
Our website is coolinthegame.com. We have several things that we're doing. If you go up on our website, you'll see the touring that we have this year. We just finished doing the Night of the Proms over there in Germany. We did 18 shows in about 30 days, you know. And so that was great. We just came from Cairo, Egypt. We get ready to do something there for the pyramids again. Back to the pyramids. Light of Worlds, we're coming. So check out coolinthegame.com. You know, we got a lot of things happening this year.
Awesome. No, definitely, sir. And if you guys are around here, I'll definitely go catch the show, and I'll be sure to email you guys in advance, let you guys know I'm coming. I'll bring a lot of my friends, and it'll be a good time.
The other thing that I'm doing, I have a champagne called the Cool Champagne. And the song we got is called Let's Party. So let's party, and make sure you get you a nice, cool glass of the Cool Champagne coming to you this year.
I love it. Yeah, definitely pick up some bottles. That's awesome. Everyone loves a good bottle of champagne.
Hey, that's what you celebrate. When the good times come on. It's always been Dom Perignon and Cristal. Where people go, what about the Cool Champagne now? We wrote a song about it. Everybody celebrate.
There it is. That's true. You did. It's already prepped. This is perfect. I love it.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for your time, sir. I really did have a great time, and I appreciate your words of wisdom and everything that you had to share, sir.
Thank you.
This has been Alternate Take. We'll see you guys later. Take care. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen, our interview with one of the best bass players of all time, Mr. Robert Cool Bell. Thanks for stopping into the show, sir. I had such a blast, man. Damn, unbelievable, man. I'm still a little starstruck after that interview. It was such a good time. I put all of Mr. Cool's links to all of his stuff in the podcast description. So they got his champagne line on there. You got the Cool and the Gang Foundation that they do for kids. They got the website. You can check out their upcoming tour dates and whatnot. And I also put his personal Instagram. So go check that stuff out, guys, man. They're still killing it, dude. They're still on tour. They're still making you celebrate every single way, man. And how amazing is that, man? What an example to follow for your life. For all you new fans out there, go check us out at Alternate Take DR on Instagram. And that's it, man. I appreciate you guys. This has been Alternate Take. My name is Danny Rodriguez. I'll see you guys later. Peace.